Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you to the St. Petersburg Yacht Club in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida, where we are almost ready to begin the first Tiger Bay Club luncheon of 2020. This program today, the State of the Bay, an annual event featuring Mayors Rick Kreisman of St. Petersburg, Mayor George Krenikos of Clearwater, and Jane Castor, the relatively new mayor of Tampa. All three of the mayors here, having enjoyed their lunch together here at the St. Petersburg Yacht Club, will be beginning the program as the immediate past president of Suncoast Tiger Bay, Elise Minkoff, is approaching the podium and will be ready to start the program shortly. This is a sellout crowd today at the Yacht Club, and most of the attendees have successfully navigated the lunch buffet line, and we should be ready to go here momentarily with Mayors Kreisman, Krenikos, and Castor, the State of the Bay 2020. Coming to you live from the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club at the historic St. Pete Yacht Club in downtown St. Petersburg, an organization that was founded all the way back in 1909. Let's go to the podium, and here is Elise Minkoff.
Good afternoon, Tigers and guests. We're going to go ahead and get our program started today. Happy New Year, Tigers. My name's Elise Minkoff, and I am president of Suncoast Tiger Bay, at least for the next 20 minutes or so. Martin Luther King once said, "The ultimate measure of a man or a woman is not where they stand in moments of comfort, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy." Our esteemed panel today has experienced those moments of comfort, but most importantly, moments of controversy and challenges. Tiger Bay Suncoast is pleased to welcome our Tampa Bay mayors and friends of Tiger Bay, Mayor Rick Kreisman of St. Petersburg, Mayor George Krenikos of Clearwater, and Mayor Jane Castor of Tampa. Thank you, mayors, for joining us today. Tigers and guests, this is our annual State of the Bay event, and we have sold out this room, and thank you all for having interest in showing up today. We are going to learn different perspectives about what's happening not only here in Pinellas County, but in Hillsborough County, the city of Tampa, the city of St. Pete, and the city of Clearwater. But before we get to that, a few quick announcements. You can renew your Tiger Bay membership today. We would love for you to do that. The benefits are immense. You get to ask a question at Tiger Bay Luncheon. You get to participate in the Fang and Claw. And if you haven't renewed, you can always renew on your way out. You can see Amy, who you met at the front table when you checked in. One of the purposes of Suncoast Tiger Bay is to introduce high school and college students, young Tigers. We want to encourage them to engage in the public arena of ideas and issues. Join with me as we welcome our young Tiger today, hailing from the University of South Florida, Sean Schrader. Sean? The black bowls on each table gives you an opportunity to help us support an annual scholarship for a Pinellas County senior who has demonstrated community involvement and leadership. This annual scholarship is incredibly important And we oftentimes give out $1,000 to $2,000 worth of a scholarship. We measure that amount based upon the donations we get in that black hole. So please, drop in some money, drop in your change, drop in your dollar bills. No lint, please. But we will count it up, and we will gladly pass it on along to a wonderful Pinellas County senior who is deserving of the scholarship. At this time, we will now welcome the elected officials and candidates that are here with us today. Please wait for Megan to come around with the microphone. Please hold up your hand. We have a lot of them in the room, so be patient, and we will get started with that. Thank you.
I'm Bill Johnson, former council member in Clearwater, and I'm running for Clearwater mayor on March 17th.
Nicole Carr, and I am your Pinellas member for District 3.
Don't know if I'll try.
Hold your hands up high, please.
Matt Becker, congressional candidate, Republican for CD 13.
Good morning. I'm Ben Diamond, State Representative, Florida House District 68, St. Petersburg.
Michael Fredovich, City Councilman, Gulfport.
Anyone else? Okay, they're going to change out the batteries on these. Do we have another? Okay, welcome all elected officials and candidates. Thank you to Radio St. Pete today and Tiger Bay Vice President Joe Bordeaux, as well as our media partners, St. Pete Catalyst, for live online broadcasting of our program today. This is my last meeting as Tiger Bay president, so you'll indulge me. That's my husband. So if you'll indulge me for just a moment. This past year, we transitioned Tiger Bay to a new management team, St. Pete Catalyst. They've been wonderful. With the help of St. Pete Catalyst, Joe Hamilton, and the ever-loyal Megan Holmes, we have regenerated our membership database, website, and many other aspects of Tiger Bay that make us run efficiently. As we continue to smooth out the wrinkles over this past year, we took a stab at different programming and ways to approach topics. According to the feedback, because we know Tiger Bay members are not shy, some of the programming was sound and successful, and others, well, according to you, needed some work. So we have taken all of that under advisement. So thank you, Tiger Bay members, for coming along for the ride, and we hope you stay on board because the programming for 2020 is fantastic, and you're going to hear more about that later. Finally, and personally, many thanks to the supportive 2019 Tiger Bay Board, who assisted the process along the way and gave me guidance and counsel. Heartfelt thanks to my boss, who could not be here today, Senator Daryl Roussan, who gave me great latitude on Tiger Bay days to do what I needed to do to be here at this podium. My final thank you is to my ever intrepid and wonderful loyal husband, Tommy Menkoff, for taking time out of his court docket to come and listen to Tiger Bay and me at the podium. I have indeed been greatly blessed more than the most. We have a great membership base. Before we get started with the program, one last piece of business. Nominating committee brought forward the following board nominations. If you will please stand. Those members slated as officers: Barclay Harless, President; Joanna Cheshire, Vice President; Matt Lettler, Treasurer; Joe Bordeaux, over here with St. Pete Radio, Secretary. Returning board members: Harvey Landris, Tiffany Ficus, Evan Freeman, Corey Adler, Kelly Kirshner. New board members: Nicole Carr, Karen Cashin, J.C. Pritchett, and Adam Smith. Thank you all for stepping up to serve. The board moves the slate forward based upon the recommendations of the nominating committee. There is no need for a second, so all in favor of this slate, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. I will now ask you to congratulate and welcome Barclay Harless up as our new Tiger Bay president.
Thank you all so much for your term as your new president. I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank the mayors for taking time out of their busy schedules to join us. Obviously, there's a lot going on in Tampa Bay at the moment. My name is Barclay Harless. I'm a banker with Bank OZK, which is a regional community bank here. Before I introduce Adam Smith, there's obviously a lot going on with regionalism, with our economy, with transportation. And so I know, like many of you, to both our members and our guests, I'm looking forward to what is said. The format of today's conversation begins with Adam Smith of Mercury Public Affairs, who will briefly introduce all of the mayors. Each mayor will have 5 to 7 minutes to speak on the state of the Bay, and then we'll turn it over to questions. Only Tiger Bay members can direct their questions. Please, no speeches. Our speakers have exactly 1 to 2 minutes to answer each question. Today's Tiger Timer is the world-famous Corey Adler. At the end of the question session, we have 3 audience members who are board members who will rank each question. They will remain anonymous, so you don't know who they are. And they will award the prestigious Fang and Claw Award. The rules for the Fang and Claw question are on your table. Once again, only Tiger Bay members and young Tigers may ask questions. You have 15 to 20 seconds to frame your questions. No speeches. Please wait for the mic from Amy or Megan and state your name clearly. Please now let me introduce Adam Smith to come forward and introduce our speakers.
Hi, I'm a board member and a pretty big deal now. Let's not waste any time. Everybody knows who these people are. I can say, as somebody who helped work on Jane Castor, Mayor Castor's campaign, the main question for her is, how did you get to be so terrific? I know Mayor Kretikos has asked for as many Scientology questions as possible, and that Mayor Christman will be announcing today his campaign for governor. So come on up. You guys know are we doing opening statements or just go straight? Okay.
Five minutes.
Who's the timekeeper? All right. When you throw something at me, I'll know time's up. Okay. Good afternoon. This is so exciting to be over here and to be over here with two good friends and in such an incredible area. I honestly believe, a little biased because I was born and raised here, but the Tampa Bay area is the greatest place to live, work, and play in the entire United States. Some of the issues that we're dealing with in Tampa are the same issues that St. Petersburg and Clearwater are dealing with. And that's the reason that we have to work as a region. It's critically important to address those issues like transportation, I often joke that we're so far behind in transportation, we think we're first. But it really is something that we have got to address. And in the South, in our region, is no exception. When we talk about mass transit, what most people, when they say mass transit, what they mean is get those people off the street so they're not in my way while I'm driving. So we really do have to come up with the viable solutions for the entire region. And, you know, transportation in our city clearly is something that we need to work at. As a police officer, I tell people one of the most difficult things to adjust to here as the mayor is, as a police officer, you get thrown a set of facts, you make a decision, and you move on. My first meeting with transportation, I about threw myself off the curb. They're like, okay, we have to do an environmental study. That'll be 3 to 5 years, and then we have to do this, and we have to do this. And I'm like, I thought the whole thing would be done in a couple of years. So trying to adjust to that and hopefully compress some of those time frames. But transportation, affordable housing is something that is critical to each of our communities, and we all have to work on. Workforce development is a focus of ours in our community as well. Development services for Tampa. You know, we have our arms spread wide open saying we're open for business, come to Tampa. And then the process is we have the same number of individuals trying to process all of those permits and things. And then clearly sustainability and resiliency is something that we all have to focus on, from individuals all the way up to the government entities. And so I put together advisory teams for each of those five areas. We have already released our development services, and we had made a majority of changes, not the majority, but a large number of changes that were in that report we had already implemented over in Tampa. And then we released the transportation. We're fine-tuning affordable housing. That will come out soon, followed by workforce development. We currently are doing a nationwide search for sustainability and resiliency director, and we've got several good candidates there that we will be interviewing, and that advisory team will be ongoing. The others were 6 to 8 weeks, and then they would be available for consultation, but the resiliency sustainability will be continuing on. This is a great, great time. Great time for each of our communities, but there are issues that have to be addressed in all of our cities. For me, the most important thing is that we work as a region, and I think that that is critical. And we have to put processes and policies in place that will outlive each of us. You know, George is on the end of his term. Rick has got a couple years left, and I'm just starting. But the regionalism has to be... it has to be embedded. It has to be a way of life for us, because each of our cities has unique characteristics that are attractive around the world, and we need to market those characteristics as a region so that it lifts up each of the cities. So I'm very excited to be here. We have all gotten together and decided that the difficult questions are all going to the mayor of Clearwater, and as Rick and I talked earlier today, no bother, no reason to ask about the raise, because Rick and I have decided we're going to give the raise to George as a parting gift, because he's got individuals that have enough money to build that stadium, or so we've heard.
Mayor neglected that. They also have land there that they've got that same group has. Well, good afternoon, Tigers, and welcome to the Sunshine City. The one other thing I wanted to mention, that the mayor was talking about her transitioning from police chief to mayor. It also meant having to put the handcuffs away, and that's all. There are certainly folks we'd love to use those on sometimes. I do want to say a quick thank you to Tiger Bay President Elise Minkoff and the whole Tiger Bay Board for once again making this event possible. And congratulations to Barkley Harless, the new president. Barkley's been president now for a few minutes, and already the gray hair is starting to come.
So this is what happens after a while, Barkley. But it is always good to be with my colleague, Mayor Castor from across the bay. In fact, this is, I think, our third day in a row now that we have been at events across the bay. So we got to be careful because people are going to start talking. But I did want to pay a special tribute to our friend and our colleague, Clearwater Mayor George Kratikas. Please, give me. The next time that we do this event, it'll be with George's successor. George has meant a lot to his city, but he's also meant a lot to this region. And we are better because of him. We come from different parties, life experiences in public service. But we've seen eye to eye on what it means to be mayor, to put differences aside and to be collegial and to focus on the Tampa Bay region. George is a good man, and he even forgave me for stealing his police chief. At least I hope he has. So, George, thank you for everything that you have done, my friend. So, before we get to the questions, I want to give you a brief update on the state of St. Pete and of Tampa Bay. So, simply put, both have never been better. In St. Pete, everything that should be going well, the economy, jobs, home values, opportunity continues to be on the upswing. And everything that should be going down, things like poverty and crime, continue to fall. We're heading in the right direction. Over the coming months, we'll be digging into the data and talking more about St. Pete, first at our upcoming annual State of the Economy, and next at our not yet scheduled State of the City address. But actually, let me give you all
one piece of data, kind of a sneak preview. And this is an important one. The average age in St. Petersburg is now 41 years old. Yeah. Let that sink in for a minute. 41. That's younger than the average age of the state of Florida and younger than the average of the Tampa Bay region. We've gone from God's waiting room to God's craft beer taproom. So as 2019 came to a close, I was asked to write a few end-of-the-year, end-of-the-decade pieces for various publications, and in each one, I consistently stated that this will be the year of the burg, although I think every year is the year of the burg. But I do believe the opening of the new St. Pete Pier will be a highlight for us here in St. Pete and for our entire region. And yes, the pier is opening soon. For real. It really is, and it will be for everyone, of every age and of every income bracket. It will be a point of pride for us for a long time. And one way people who live outside our city limits may get to the new pier is via the Cross Bay Ferry. Just yesterday, we learned that ridership is up nearly 40% since last season, and Sunday ridership is up nearly 400%. At this point, it's really become, yeah, absolutely. It's really become a staple of our region. Now, although it's not the answer to our mass transit challenges, it is proof, though, that people are willing to get out of their cars. And it is a shining example of what collaboration can produce here in Tampa Bay. There is much to celebrate right now in St. Pete and in Tampa Bay, and there are many celebrations ahead, but there is also much work to do. A lot of that work involves St. Pete 2050, our generational visioning process. So if you haven't done so already, please visit stpete2050.com and take the survey. And from all of our recent growth and successes, I realize that there is no shortage of catalyzing ideas for how to make our city even better, and that's the way it should be. Cities are laboratories, and much of what makes St. Pete unique is that it is truly people-powered. So I'm asking you to share your ideas with us, and let's work together to make St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay even better. So thank you all for having me, and I look forward to your questions.
This is going to be a little more difficult than I thought. First off, Mayor Kreisman, thank you very much for those kind words. Mayor Castor, thank you for giving us the raise. But how about the Bucks or the Lightning? You know, that might be a little bit more. And I also want to thank Mayor Kreisman for reminding those of us who are from Clearwater that we're above average once again. because our average age is like 60. You know? We started this several years ago, Mayor Buckhorn, Mayor Kreisman, and myself. And we haven't dropped the ball with Mayor Castor. We as a Tampa Bay community, are so fortunate to have her across the bay representing Tampa and speaking for the people of Hillsborough County. So thank you very much, Mayor Castor. And Mayor Kreisman, you and I, I come here and I see so many people that I've worked with for 50 years. And you're one of those guys that maybe it hasn't been 50 years, but I feel like we're brothers, and I appreciate your kind words, the work that you do for the city of St. Petersburg, the work that you did in Tallahassee for us as a region. The one question on everybody's mind is, what am I going to be doing next year at this time? So let me answer that right now. Remember Bob Buckhorn said he was going to be an Uber driver. Y'all have seen Two Men and a Truck, the moving company. Well, Mayor Buckhorn and I are going to be starting a new car service, two mayors and a car. Okay. So that is going to solve the transportation problem, because everybody's going to want to ride with the mayor and his car. It is an election season in Clearwater, and you would have think that we are a city in the pits. We're off track. We don't have good water. Our infrastructure is falling apart. We don't have a plan. Well, we have a plan. We're setting the foundation. No, we're not Tampa. We're not St. Petersburg with the construction that is going on. But we've set the foundation. And we can be proud of our city. Our infrastructure is not broken. We've gotten criticized in the past by many people who say that our rates were too high. But they were high because we were taking care of the infrastructure on our own. We're hearing people say that our water supply is not good, and that we don't have enough water. And yet we have a system that is second to none in the Tampa Bay area. We can be proud of Clearwater's Imagine Clearwater plan that, yeah, it's in its fifth year and we haven't had any real construction yet. But as Mayor Castor will tell you, it took 40 years to get Riverwalk done. And it took 8 years, 8 mayors. We're still on our first mayor in Clearwater. At least for another couple of weeks. So Clearwater is not broken. It's just a little bit slower in getting things done because, as I said earlier, we're a little bit older, you know. But the vision that we have in our city is not unlike the vision anybody else has, to make it a good place to live, to work, and play. One of the things that Tampa and St. Petersburg can be very proud of is the fact that they have residents living in their downtown. A couple years ago, if I were standing here, I would not be able to tell you that I have residents living in downtown. But in the last year, we've had two huge apartment complexes open. One of them is already sold out. Or rented 100%. The 1100 building, which has been an eyesore, the FBI used to be in it. Congressman Bill Arrakis used to have an office. The first Congressman Bill Arrakis used to have an office in it. It's now an apartment complex, and it is... Bye. Adam.
Thank you, sir. Look for him soon on Dancing with the Stars. You guys know the drill. I still am a recovering journalist, so I know some of the people in the back row are thinking, enough with the kumbaya. Let's get some conflict over here. So that's the job of the questioners. We're ready. Let's start. Let's start over there. No speeches.
Harvey Landris. This is directed to Mayor Kreisman and Mayor Kritikos. What's the one political decision that you made as mayor that, in retrospect, you regret that you made? And for Mayor Castor, I know we can't do two subjects, but for Mayor Castor, are there decisions that you know that they've made that you wish they hadn't?
Oh. Yeah, Mayor Castor leaned over to me and said, become a politician. you know, we always take a look at every decision we make, and you can always Monday morning quarterback everything. Certainly, I think when you come into office, you inherit a staff, and a lot of times you try and work with that staff. Sometimes it works out well, and sometimes it doesn't serve you quite so well. I think probably would have taken maybe a little harder look at everybody that we had on staff to make sure that they were as committed to our vision statement of becoming a city of opportunity where the sun shines on all, more committed to that than to continuing to do things the way we had always done them.
I think I've been able to go to sleep every night very comfortably. If there's been one vote maybe that I wish I hadn't made, it would have been on putting a storage unit in an area that maybe we didn't need. But really, I'm not going to second guess my votes. I'm very comfortable in every position that I've taken.
Deb Mazzaferro. I'm not going to wait my first. I'm not going to waste my question on downtown St. Petersburg parking. Instead, I'd like the long-term view. Convince me I don't have to move out of Florida because of climate change.
All right. Yeah, and we said between a minute and 2 minutes to answer that. You know, so obviously the Tampa Bay region actually, I think it was the World Bank that said we are the 7th most at risk in the world and 4th most at risk in the United States. That's when you think about that should give you some pause. Does that mean you need to sell your home and vacate today? No. What it means, though, is that we all, the three of us, even during George's last few weeks, we all have a lot of work to do. And it's about mitigation and it's about adaptation. It's about mitigating and reducing our impact on climate change and sea level rise, reducing our CO2 emissions. But it's also about adapting for the climate change that we're experiencing now and for the future. And so as an example, you know, when you look at the new St. Pete Pier, that building has been built above what FEMA requires. We've done new seawalls. Everything that we are doing as part of our integrated sustainability action plan, all of our new buildings, everything that we do will be aimed at making us more resilient and adapting to what's happening. Will there come a point in time that people might have to consider leaving certain areas of our city or the state? Absolutely. Is that time right now? I don't think it is.
Yes, and that is, it's a critical, critical issue, and we're looking at it from two stages as well, from the mitigation of the effects of climate change. It's coming, and there are going to be changes that we aren't going to be able to stave off. And some of the things that we have done so far in the city of Tampa, looking at the land use, the zoning, permitting, we passed a over $400 million stormwater mitigation plan that has been in progress for several years now. So looking at what we can do as a community to mitigate, you know, reduce. And then secondly is what we can do, not only as city government, it's just not government's responsibility. It goes down to every single citizen. And that is how we can reduce our carbon footprint. George taught us all the other day that we cannot recycle our pizza boxes. so anybody that does that. But seriously, I mean, things as simple, as seemingly simple as recycling, we pay in the city of Tampa all of the recycling that we take to the recycling facility. We have to come back and pick up two-thirds of that and take it out to our refuse site, our waste-to-energy site. So all of the things that we have to do, the myriad, we all have to do it collectively to ensure that we can weather through this climate change and pass on the wonderful community that we enjoy now to be able to pass that on to the next generations.
And I think that's the key, to pass on. Not one of us has to worry about leaving now. If the sea level were to rise 1 foot in Clearwater, we would still have a beach. We would still be the best beach town, and people from Tampa and St. Petersburg would be coming to Clearwater. So you don't have to worry about leaving now, but maybe your great-great-great-grandchildren will, if each one of us doesn't take a responsibility now to be more aware of our environment and what we can do now, not necessarily for ourselves, but for the future.
Jim Gillespie, would each of you identify impediments in the policy, in the legislative policies of the state and the governor, which make your job more difficult and need to be changed?
This is easy for me. I find it difficult as a Republican to have a Republican legislature tell us that they in Tallahassee know what's best for our communities. The Republican mantra has always been the government closest to the people is the best. When I was working in Congressman Young's office, legislators, local officials would come up to us and say, let us do it. Washington can't control what we do, what we know better in our communities. That has really changed over the last many years. And that's, you know, they don't like hearing this, but they don't have an answer for it either.
You know, I used to say when I was in the legislature, after listening to my colleagues talk about Washington needs to stop telling us what to do because we know our state better than them, that if hypocrisy was an Olympic sport, the legislature would win the gold medal. You know, when I was there, we were each, and you were in the House, and Representative Diamond knows this, you get 6 bills. And every session we used to joke, but it really wasn't funny, that we ought to get 3 freebies. One was for felonizing something, one was for a license plate, and one was for a preemption. Well, today they've gotten away from felonizing and from license plates, but they haven't gotten away from preemptions. And as I think you'll hear all of us say this, the same thing. Let us do our jobs. Let us work with our city councils because we know what's best for our communities. Stop telling us what you think is best for us. Somebody in a rural county, a rural city, doesn't know what's best for St. Pete or Tampa or Clearwater. We do.
Same page. You know, stop usurping home rule. And just the areas, you look at affordable housing, which we are all struggling with. You look at the Sadowski Fund, where that is just pillaged every year and used for everything but what it was intended for. And then turn around and keep localities from requiring set-asides for affordable housing. Simple solutions. It's such a difficult issue on so many fronts, but yet they continue to erode away there. So that's just one of the areas. The other is, probably shouldn't bring up firearms, but firearms legislation. Marion Hammer will proudly say that she wrote every single word of every piece of legislation dealing with firearms and ammunition. And as Rick pointed out, you know, communities are different. that what is good for the city of Tampa isn't necessarily good for a panhandle city or county. So we need to determine what is the best in working with our citizens and listening to our citizens. We need to determine what is the best for our communities.
Just add one real quick thing here is and just because something isn't working in Miami or they're doing something in South Florida that inappropriately doesn't mean the rest of the state should be penalized. The CRA is a great example of it. Every year there's a threat about us, our ability to have a CRA and how effective it can be. And all you have to do is look at what's happening in South St. Pete because of the South St. Pete CRA. If we lose that tool, we lose a valuable tool that helps us make a difference in the South St. Petersburg.
My question deals with taxes. Mayor Credit goes with Terry Bryant. Oh, I forget it sometime. Mayor Credit goes, Clearwater, you were talking about the taxes that your residents had to pay the increase, and there was questioning it. I questioned you on the Synagogue property that they have bought up throughout Clearwater and the high and the non-taxes that they are paying. To Mayor Christman, I questioned you on the tax that was placed upon us homeowners, all right, and the uses of it and why. When you have high developments down in Lower St. Petersburg that are going up, have gone up, and I wonder, did they get a rebate, and we're having to pay the consequence for it?
Let me clarify. Our sewer, stormwater, garbage, those are enterprise funds, and those are the rates that they're not tied to property taxes. Those are separate rates. That's what's a little higher than some of the other communities, because we use those funds solely for the enterprise fund that it's related to. We do not use property tax funds like some other communities to fund or subsidize garbage, sewers, and stormwater programs. We do that through those rates. That's why they were a little higher. Our property taxes in Clearwater are not the highest in the county. Some of the smaller communities in Pinellas County actually have a higher millage rate than we do. I believe your question regarding the downtown, the Church of Scientology is actually one of the largest taxpayers in the downtown area to the city of Clearwater, because it has an arrangement with the property tax office of Pinellas County that those offices that are not religious will pay taxes. For example, the Fort Harrison Hotel actually pays a bed tax.
In St. Petersburg, we have not raised property taxes. Your millage rate has not gone up. Actually, I think during my time in office, it's been reduced at least once. And we are certainly looking at it again as we start working on this next budget. What has gone up are the fees that you're paying on stormwater fees and wastewater fees. And obviously, we've had to invest hundreds of millions of dollars, and we'll continue to have to invest hundreds of millions of dollars into our system to improve our infrastructure. And as George said, their rates were already up. We are raising our rates specifically for that purpose. So across the board, no matter where you live in the city of St. Petersburg, you are paying higher rates to help us fund those projects that we have to do.
I think I promised Greg first. Go ahead.
Gregory Wilson. Welcome to the front of the room, Adam. For us old-timers, it used to be that the mayor of St. Petersburg was the first speaker of the year. And that was a very long-time tradition. And seeing the three of you together for the last few years, not welcome to the club, is a gesture that's not lost on the region. Seeing you 2 days ago at the Leadership Summit on Resiliency was also a great gesture towards the era of change that we're looking at. So kudos to you. But I'd like to put that gesture to the test. So for you old-timers, my query is, when was the last time that you picked up the phone, and I know you know each other's numbers, and you called and you said, what's up? And then you said, This is important to both our cities. Let's get this done together.
Yeah, actually we do that all the time, and it's not a, hey, what's up? It's like, what the hell? No. Good God, what's going on? But yes, I feel in my short tenure, clearly, you know, they could speak more deeply, but from election day was very welcomed, and we meet for lunch on a regular basis and call to discuss issues. Clearly, Rick and I have more of the issues to discuss lately, but we do have a great relationship, and again, I think that goes back to the regionalism and how important that is to each and every one of our citizens.
Yeah, we do get together quarterly for lunch, the three of us, and before Mayor Castor was Mayor Buckhorn. There's no hesitancy whatsoever for any of us to pick up the phone and call the other and say, how are you doing things, or we have an issue here, or how can we work together on this? And all you have to look at is when we were making the bid Amazon, thank you, for Amazon. I mean, that was unique. That's something like that had never happened before in the Tampa Bay region, where we got together, and whether it was filming a promo spot or, you know, getting our staffs together to work together to try and do something for the region. We're going to continue to do that. The three of us are committed. I'm sure whoever comes after George will join us and be committed to doing that. I'm fortunate. I also get to see Jane at whether it's things we've done together, like the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative, where we've been able to talk about things too while we're there. George and I are together often every month at the Mayor's Council for Pinellas County. We talk there. We don't hesitate to take that opportunity to talk to each other.
Today, that was the first day I heard that we were going to have the Rays playing in Clearwater, but I have not had the opportunity to tell Mayor Cassidy that I'm not for a split season. You know, that it's, they're not going to be in Tampa half the time and half the time in Clearwater. But just 2 weeks ago, Tampa is going to be the host for a U.S. Conference of Mayor or League of Cities, League of Cities program. And just a couple of weeks ago, Mayor Castor called both of us, and we had a conference call to see how we could work together to make sure that it's just not Tampa, that it's Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Pinellas County. Think about all the different events that take place in the Tampa Bay area. The Outback Bowl, for example, most recently. The games in Tampa. But what beach does Tampa have? Where do they want to, we had beach day in Clearwater. We tend to forget, and it falls on each one of us that we are a region and that we need to work together and promote each other. And we're trying to do that, and hopefully it will continue and it will spread.
With the National League of Cities, that the host was to the city of Tampa, but to look at everybody that comes down here, how could we do that, showcase the Tampa Bay area without going over to show the pier in St. Petersburg, to show where the new Rays Stadium is going over in Clearwater, But seriously, that goes to the heart of marketing as a region, to show that we all come together in the best interests of our citizens.
Dianetics Field has a ring to it.
As I go into the next person, I want to quickly ask the three mayors here. We are about to be in the midst of a Democratic presidential primary, and we've got two significant mayors, one a small town mayor in Indiana, the other Mike Bloomberg. Is Mayor Pete qualified, and what's your take on Mayor Bloomberg, who knows our area well?
Actually, I can't say if Mayor Pete is qualified. I mean, he certainly is, and that's not to say he is or he isn't. He's very, very bright, and as a mayor, mayors are the ones that get things done. I mean, seriously, if you want to stop what we were talking about, all of the roadblocks, congestions, delays, everything else, you look at mayors. Mayors get it done. And then, as Rick alluded to, he and I are both in the Bloomberg Mayor's Leadership Initiative. And I tell you, a very, very impressive individual. The things that he has done, and just done really, in my personal opinion, in a very, very apolitical manner. He just went about improving the city of New York for the residents, the tourists, and everyone else. So very impressed with him, and very impressed with Mayor Pete as well.
Yeah, and I've obviously, I got to know Pete Buttigieg very well. Incredibly bright guy. I think Mayor Koester said it really well. He's a mayor. We have to get things done. We don't have a choice. We can, you know, we can't let politics get in the way. We can't let money get in the way, because our citizens deserve action. And so both of these guys have walked in those shoes. You know, Mayor Bloomberg was here. Certainly we appreciate his organization support of our efforts at addressing climate change, things he's invested his resources in on a nonpartisan manner, assisting cities all over the country with challenges that they face. You know, I think these guys both understand what it takes to make government work, and certainly I think that would be refreshing in Washington.
It just came to me that instead of having the Rays move to Clearwater, they would be, in light of what was said on in promoting this event, that it would be cheaper to change the name of Tampa Bay to Clearwater Bay. And I don't vote in the Democratic primary. As an elected official, the only private vote that I have is on election day.
Good afternoon. Ann McMullen with Doyle Wealth Management. My question is predominantly for Mayor Koester. The people of Hillsborough County voted for a referendum to tax themselves for transportation. That transportation now is mired in the court system. Can you help us understand where that is, why it is? Are we going to have regional transportation for other two mayors? What are our next steps here in Pinellas County to move forward? You've all talked about regionalism, but we need action steps.
Yes, hopefully that's going to be decided in the next couple of months. My biggest fear is that they continue to delay and kick that down the road, but hopefully that is not going to happen. What was the opposition to it from Commissioner Stacey White was that it took away the authority of the county commission. And so really Judge Barbas sort of split the baby. He said that the tax itself was fine, but that the oversight committee, that needed to go to the county commission, in which the response, very quick response, was for the county commission to pass the same percentages. Now, clearly, those could be changed in the future, but we thought that was going to be the end of it because, in essence, Commissioner White won. But, you know, it has gone forward saying that now that there are changes, there has been that change, then individuals didn't vote for what they thought they voted for. The one thing that frightens me is when people say that there's partisanship in the Supreme Court, which really is a sad commentary to me, and I hope that is nothing more than a commentary. But we are very, very, I don't want to say hopeful. I'm not convinced, you know, anything can happen these days, but I believe that it will pass. The majority of the citizens voted for it. That's what they want, and we need to move forward.
So we continue to have discussions with Pinellas County about the future of a referendum similar to what Hillsborough County did. And I think the key is to try and decide when is the appropriate time to do it and what does that look like so that it gives us the best chance of success and we don't make the same mistakes that we made the last time
we went out to the voters on this, because if we go out again and it doesn't pass, it'll be decades before we'll be successful. So we, as much as I'd like to do it tomorrow, we need to take our time, make sure we do something that's going to pass. I think you continue to see, though, examples of regionalism related to transit. And again, the ferry is a great example. Pinellas County, Hillsborough County, City of St. Petersburg, City of Tampa, all getting together and saying, let's get people out of their cars and give them an alternative. And it's been wildly successful. The key now is turning it into away from a seasonal with one boat to permanent with multiple boats. And then the third thing I'll mention, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The third thing I'll mention is, and this is really important, is, you know, Florida Department of Transportation has been working on a premium transit plan that would have BRT that runs from Wesley Chapel to USF Tampa to downtown Tampa to West Shore to Carillon to downtown St. Petersburg. Certainly, if that's successful, there's no reason it doesn't go to Clearwater. That's the kind of regional transit options we've got to start giving people. I've been behind that. City Council in St. Pete has been behind that effort. We really need to see something like that happen that really connects us and makes it easier. If you're a student, you live in St. Pete, and you go to USF Tampa, you know, that drive is miserable. Imagine getting on a BRT and how much easier it would be to be able to get there and do it easily. And that's what we want to see happen.
I'm going to just amplify just a little bit on the ferries. You know, we have a ferry in Clearwater that goes between the mainland and the beach. How great would it be if we use it for our tourists to go up and down the beach as well, you know, and try to figure out how to make that an attraction for them? The other thing that we all have to keep in mind is our county administrator, Barry Burton, is going around to each of the municipalities now telling us of some plans that the County Commission is having and some options that they're going to be faced with in deciding what to do on transportation and what's the best option for us to use. And finally, let me go back to a previous question, Adam. I don't know who the nominee on the other side is going to be, but right now, you know, President Trump, you have to assume is going to be the nominee for the Republican Party. And, you know, whether you like, you know, but you know, whether you like him or not, whether you agree with him or not, you've got to say this. He says a lot of things that people agree with, even in this room, and are embarrassed to admit. Because otherwise, he would not have carried Pinellas County. I may be wrong, but then we're both wrong.
Poor John Romano's been back there waiting for the darn baseball question and hasn't come. Betty has had her hand up for a little bit, and you can never say no to Betty Morgenstern.
Betty Morgenstern. I really am so proud to see these three mayors up here because I really feel something's going to be done. But I remember years ago, now we're worried about straws, but years ago we used to check the emission of cars, which made sense. It cost $10, but you kept a lot of cars off the road, and then suddenly they let it go. Would it be reasonable to have something like that come back to any of you?
Yeah, that was a statewide project, and that was done away with, and I think that the great idea, but the cost of implementation would probably be too great. I don't know what the data says about the cars, you know, age of cars, the new ones, the emissions are clearly a lot better than the ones you're behind, you know, coughing in the cloud of smoke, one that I drove in high school, I might add. But, yeah, I think that the cost of implementing that probably would be better served in other areas in the resiliency and sustainability world.
Yeah, I would agree. It's first off, it's a state issue. Secondly, I think just based on the age of the cars, the emissions don't necessarily warrant going back to that. On the flip side, what personally I would love to see is we've gotten away from testing drivers anymore. You get your driver's license and it's pretty much the last time you ever get tested. I think part of the reason we see some of the congestion that we see on the highways is because people don't know the rules of the road. They don't know the law anymore.
You know, I drive my daughter back and forth to college all the time, and there can be a congestion on the highway. The last place you want to be is in the lane you really should be in, which is the far left, which is the lane that's going faster. It's always the slowest. The far right seems to be the fastest. That's not the way it's supposed to be, and I think part of it's because people just don't know the rules of the road anymore, and that's something I think that I'd love to see the state reconsider.
Let's squeeze a final question in here. Jay, are
Hi, I'm Jay Miller. We've been talking about regionalism, and in that line, symbolism and branding is important. Last year, the Tampa Chamber of Commerce and the Tampa Hillsborough Economic Development Corporation changed their name to Tampa Bay, and yet they don't represent the region, and they don't market outside of Hillsborough County. So my question for you, Mayor Castor, is how should those of us that live on this side of the bay, think about the region. Do we still live in Tampa Bay? And for you, Mayors Kreisman and Kredikos, do we need to rebrand ourselves as St. Pete Clearwater Bay in order for outsiders to understand our region?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the last little dig there was not necessary, but you look at... And I don't mean that as a criticism. I'm just saying realistically, because you look when people, how many people have you talked to that say, oh, you live in Tampa Bay? I mean, I get interviewed, oh, you don't? Have you ever left the city? Oh, okay. But people, you know, people talk about Tampa Bay as if that is the city. Now, I have had discussions with both the head of the Chamber of Commerce and the EDC that were not the nicest, because I found out, just as I called and Rick and I had a conversation, I said, I found out when you found out, and they could not, it's pretty much a lesson in how not to roll out something. And they're very aware of that. And we have had conversations about that. I've talked about, again, going back to looking at those policies and procedures and codifying the way that we work together and the way that we market our area. I think it's critically, critically important so that it outlives anybody that is in office. And you can't say, well, you know, George and Rick and Jane worked well together, but these new three people, so we have to make sure that we do that together. I disagree on the marketing part, because we do work closely with St. Pete and Clearwater's groups. But also, back to the fact, what I said earlier, is that each of our cities is very, very unique and has attributes that are attractive worldwide, and we need to market that as an area. I think that that is critically important.
So obviously, St. Petersburg, I think it's going to be critical for us through our EDC, through the chamber, to really tout what's going on here. And we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to be proud of what's happening in the city of St. Petersburg. We should walk with our shoulders back and our chest stuck out. And that should be our message, and we shouldn't shy away from that at all, because I think we can compete with anyone. Having said that, I do think, obviously, the three of us believe very strongly in regionalism, and it was incredibly disappointing. I've made my feelings very well known to both the Tampa Chamber and to the Hillsborough Tampa EDC. It was handled horribly. It seemed to remind me very much of what happened with consolidation in USF. It felt very similar, where everybody gets blindsided. There's no communications. You know, my big concern is this is a trust issue. And we'd worked really hard to build a trusting relationship up between, across the bay, between St. Pete and Clearwater, Pinellas County, Hillsborough, and Tampa. And I'm concerned this is going to have set us back. And it's really incumbent, and I've had conversations with folks on the other side of the bay about this. It's incumbent at this point in time, if they're not going to reconsider a name change, that they've got to go out of their way to regain our trust. It's like we all, at some point in time, maybe have told our kids, you know, it's you lose that trust, it's a lot harder to build it back. It's real easy to lose it. And so they're going to have to work really hard to build that trust back for us to be able to work together, not just the three of us, but the chambers and the EDCs to work together where they truly trust each other.
Adam, you cut me off on the inspection question a second. And I want to, something else that we're not doing and we're forgetting about is how many cars are on the road that you see that don't have a headlight or a taillight that works? And that's that the inspection program used to address that in addition to the brakes. So I think there's more to it than just the emissions. Your blinkers, right, yeah, you know, or people don't know how to use them. You know. I really can't add to what Mayor Castor and Mayor Kreisman had already said, because we are, it hurt all of us on this side of the bay when the people in Tampa did what they did. It's like when you're watching the Rays and they're playing in Tampa, or they refer to them as Tampa, you know. It's not, it's Tampa Bay. So, again, like we started, we'll end. We solved this problem by changing the bay to Clearwater Bay, and we'll be happy.
Well, first of all, how nice is it to have three mayors who are so funny?
Big round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you all so much for coming. Thank you to the mayors who have come. We'd like to reward you with a Tampa Bay Suncoast title. I want to thank everyone for coming. As our team tallies up the winner of the Fang and Claw, please, Mayor, stay up here for a photo. I want to go over the next few events that we have scheduled. Our board last year, under Lisa's leadership, had a first conversation, which was very well needed, about the history of race relations in the city of St. Petersburg. The board made a commitment, and I hope we'll make an ongoing commitment to continue these conversations. So on February 6th, right here at the Yacht Club, we will have conversation number two. With a panel. On February 20th, Brian Auld of the Tampa Bay Rays will be coming. There's not much to talk about there, right? So I'm sure that'll be interesting. And so if you have any interest in joining Tiger Bay, we have our team at the back is more than willing to help. And do we have the winner of the Fang and Claw? Oh. And the winner is Jay Miller, one of our newest members. Thank you all so much for coming, and please drive safe. We'll see you next time.
To live coverage from the St. Petersburg Yacht Club on RadioSt.Pete.com of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon, the annual State of the Bay. Today, the State of the Bay 2020 with Mayors Rick Kreisman of the City of St. Petersburg, George Kratikas of the City of Clearwater, and Jane Castor from the City of Tampa. As you heard from Club President Barclay Harless, the next Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon will be on the 6th of February, a discussion on race relations in the City of St. Pete. And then on the 20th of February, Brian Auld from the Tampa Bay Rays will have both of those programs for you live on RadioSt.Pete.com and repeated as well. You can check our RadioSt.Pete.com website to hear when the program will be repeated, or you can listen to it on demand in the Radio St. Pete podcast archive and at TampaBayPodcast.com. On behalf of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club, thank you so much for listening. From the St. Pete Yacht Club in downtown St. Petersburg, this is Joe Bordeaux returning you to our studio.
Radio St. Pete.